The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tubridy with you. It is 9:05. It's Tuesday morning, the 28th of January, 2020. We're here till 10 a.m. The text number this morning is 51551. You can email ryan at rte.ie. Why in God's name are we going to be talking about yoga this morning? Yoga. Yoga was one of my favorite characters in Star Wars. Obviously, there was a documentary, a lot of you might have seen, about Bikram Yoga and the gentleman, for want of a better word, who runs the that particular wing of the yoga world. He seems to be an unsavoury character, and that's probably the kind way of putting it. But we have an Irish woman today who met him. In fact, at one point he stood on top of her, because that's what they do. And she's going to tell us what she made of him, what she learned from him, and what's the point. Essentially, big existential yoga crisis of sorts, and we're going to get into the ins and outs, in a manner of speaking, on that subject a little later on. So stick with us on that, and so much more besides. Well, it's the strangest thing, because you can talk about anything on the program, as we did yesterday, and what really excites the text machine in some ways. And the answer to yesterday's excitement on the text machine was my passing mention of a toasted ham and cheese maker, as I call them, but actually it's a toasted sandwich maker, but I don't know. It's only ham and cheese in mine anyway. So the point I was making was that I've had been making them for 1,000 years, loved them, had a great loyal machine. The machine died, couldn't find a good one since. And then you kindly sent in 555 million suggestions as to what to do next. And I just went for one, which was the cheapest one, because I'm assured that the cheaper, the nastier the machine, the better the toasted ham and cheese sandwich. So I went to Argos, where they had the cheapest machine. Now, the local branch, very nice fella, very helpful guy behind the counter. And I think he was kind of mildly amused at the fact that I said, no, the cheapest one, $14.99. I don't want your $23.99s. I want four. He said, yeah, but this one's big. I don't want bigger. I want nasty and small and gnarly and burnt. That's the one I want, $14.99. But it's the brand is called Cookworks. That's what you told me to buy. Cookworks. Never heard of it. I'd say this thing's probably going to set the house on fire. God help us. But anyway, I got the text this morning to say it's in. I'll collect it later. I will insta the bejesus out of that sandwich later on, so you can see for yourselves the results of that. And if it's disgusting, I blame you. And if it's delicious, I'll take all the credit, because that's how we roll. I got a letter in the middle of all this crazy post that I've been going through since it's been kind of backlogged to last September. October. But I'm getting there. I'd say I've about another 40 to go, and I'm nearly there. But anyway, this poor woman, Sheila, wrote to me, and I have her letter in front of me, because she sent stamps. Oh, so I signed address to send it back to her house in Tuam in Galway, and she sent it on the 19th of November. And she said that essentially in our house every year we do this Chris Kindle thing for Christmas, put the surprise present under the tree, but as I live in a house with all males, they're beside themselves to tell me what's in the present every time. They always manage to let it slip. So there's no surprise. So this year I'm going to be very cheeky. This is before Christmas. I'm hoping you'll provide the surprise. So I know we're heading towards February. I know I can see daffodils, and they're for sale in the shops. They're peeping out from the ground. It's a good, there's a stretch in the evening. It's all good. And yet here I am talking, addressing this letter, because I just thought it was kind of bonkers. The monetary value, she writes, of the presents in our house is set at €20. So I took the money from them. I got a postal order, which she has sent to me. And I've heard you say from time to time that you do a cull on your bookshelf and send the books off to charity. Indeed, I do. So I'm sending you the €20 postal order, which I'm hoping you will send off to a charity of your choice. And in return, I'd be grateful if you could put one of the books you intend to cull into my self-addressed envelope, which I have. I mean, this is a very organised woman, Sheila. You are very organised. I won't open it until Christmas. I would love the little bit of fun and surprise with the family to see what you'd send. Doesn't matter if it's an old tattered book, just as long as it's one you enjoyed reading. And I love people's stories, a non-fiction or even a little history pamphlet. So now not only do you want a cult book from my shelf, you're now telling me which category of book you want from my shelf. And you've given me the envelope. Bar driving to Tuam and handing it to you myself, dressed as Santa. I don't know what more I can do for you. Anyway, she says, I'm hoping you will play along with our little bit of fun this year. And I'm looking forward to Christmas Eve already. So look, happy Christmas. I'm sorry it's so out of it. But I've got your details here. I've got your envelope. I've got your postal order and your stamps. And I'm going to put a book in this afternoon. I'm going to pick a good one for you. I see you say non-fiction or a little bit of history. Okay, I'll find one that I, not that I don't want, but I'm going to gift it to you because I like what you did and your imagination and the way it's working and the voucher. Not the voucher, the money order for charity. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and tap into our audience. We have maybe 340,000 people listening to this program. It's not a figure we talk about very often, but we're very happy with it and we're grateful to everyone for tuning in. But the reason I'm saying that is because you remember on the Late Late we had Billy and Lanley's story about Emily and their baby who died and that they're having another baby coming to see us in February, isn't it, next month? Anyway, they had this GoFundMe page which was going to raise money for Cork University Hospital, the Ronald McDonald House and Crumlin. And I mentioned it yesterday, but the only reason I'm mentioning it this morning is because I'm going to give that €20 from the book to this charity, right? Like, because you asked me to send it to charity. That's where it's going to go. And their figure that they have at the moment, thanks to the generosity of the Irish people, at 8:20, it was €493,638, right? It's 10 past nine now. And at about 8:55, it went up again by 200. And this is all people giving fivers and like this, fivers and 15s and 10s. It's now at 593,898. We are sniffing distance from €500,000. We need about, what, 6.5. Can we do it together? Can we do it before 10 o'clock? I don't know if it's possible. It's a lot. But with all those people listening, if everyone gave a fiver, if even a fraction gave a fiver, this would be good news. And it's not something I would do often, but I just feel it's just such a beautiful story and there's so much goodness and it's got nothing to do with the election and it's just a relief. How do you do it? You go to GoFundMe.com and find, if you find Emmeline Holland online, that's probably, will we put a link on our Facebook? Why don't we do that on our Facebook page immediately and that'll help matters immensely. Emmeline Holland, E-M-M-E-L-I-N-E, Holland, H-O-L-L-A-N-D. Try and find, you can find the Emmeline Holland online, GoFundMe. And it really is very easy if you Google it, you'll get there. And I just think that would be just a gorgeous thing to do. So let's try, see what we can do. See what we can do together, shall we? My Chemical Romance are playing the Royal Hospital Kilmainham on the 23rd of June 2020. And I was asking the lads upstairs, lads, name one, because they are very cool bunch upstairs. And by that I mean, it's a bit like people who run the marathon. How do you know someone who runs the marathon? They tell you. So these people are, you know, they're achingly cool, right? Lads, I said, name me my Chemical Romance song, please. And the struggle, it was like me watching University Challenge, the struggle to get an answer right. And yet, here's a big ad in the papers today. In fact, it's the back of Irish Times, of all places. Is it an Irish Timesy type of gig? God help us, I wouldn't have thought so. But maybe it is, because they've even replaced the U for June as a V and the U for Dublin as a V. So it's on the 23rd of June 2020 in Dublin, in Ireland. My Chemical Romance. Any takers? Couldn't tell you a name of one of the tunes, but nevertheless, they're obviously big act, and they're coming to town. So that will be... Where are they playing? Royal Hospital Kilmainham, beautiful venue. Passed the other day as I was heading up to see the Collins Barracks Museum. So you'll have fun at that, no doubt. The Irish Daily Mirror has an editorial that says, Love Island host Laura Whitmore has been slammed over her excessive travelling to South Africa. Well, how was she going to get there? Nevertheless, she's made the 12,000 euro, sorry, 12,000 euro, the 12,000 mile round trip to Cape Town, oh, more than six times already. Will they not leave her there for a little while? And I suppose I can see what they're giving out about. Well, we all knew Laura was going places, sister. But I do quite like their headline above their comment. Laura Flitmore. Well, Flitmore or less. But yes, so that's the I think the Love Island thing is kind of dying on its arse because it's a summer thing. And they've tried to shoehorn it into winter, and it's not. I don't think it's doing a job. And even among the core audience of people who I know to see about the place, I can tell from the conversation, it's just not there. It's not amplified. The coverage isn't there. There's no interest. I think they got a bit greedy, and they should keep it as a summer thing. And we'll see you next time. So good luck with that. There's Daniel Craig with Billy Joel.
Billy Joel, I mentioned that I've been to see him at the Madison Square Garden gig when I, with the girls, and we had one of the best nights out of all time. But anyway, Saturday marked the Uptown Girl star's 68th, this is the Irish star, the 68th of 75 appearances at Madison Square Garden during his five-year residency. He's brought out more than 25 guests, including Bruce Springsteen, Paul Simon and Miley Cyrus. And you can add Daniel Craig to that. And then there's a piece beside that about Patrick Stewart has described his Star Trek character, Jean-Luc Picard, as an albatross around his neck. But he says he enjoys huge success, as he knows. It has at times been a burden, but yes, I've been honest about this. He's 79. I watched the first episode of the new season. And who did I see but only a... Was she a Vulcan? Felt like she had the Vulcan. You know, like Fiona Bruce. You always think she's like a Vulcan. In a good way, obviously. And I saw Orla Brady, great Irish actress, as one of Picard's friends, cooking a meal for him. And I thought, that's nice. And she's speaking with an Irish accent on Star Trek Picard. So that was, I was happy about that. I always love to see that happening. Mary Beard fears nudes in art galleries becoming porn for the elite. Bodily beauty has inspired timeless masterpieces, with geniuses from antiquity to Renaissance moved to depict the naked human form. And these priceless depictions by visionaries like Michelangelo hang in the world's greatest galleries, drawing hordes of visitors. But bared beauties from Aphrodite to Adam and Eve have raised a few questions, as well as signs of admiration. So Professor Mary Beard has suggested that visitors should not just ogle the art in amazement, but reflect on whether the numerous nudes are nothing more than soft porn for the elite. But just, it's art, I think, is probably the best way to describe it. I mentioned in Naples, in Napoli. There's the Museo Archeologico Nazionale di Napoli, and that has some of the most, I think, beautiful statuary from ancient Rome, and it's great. And then there's a room, which I kind of found by accident, called the Secret Cabinet. And if Mary Beard's worried about soft porn for the elite, she can head down to the Secret Cabinet for much stronger stuff, if you like, from the ancient world. And I saw things there. What's going on over there in ancient Rome? Was there? They didn't. Why? Here's what I'll say about the ancient Romans: they didn't die wondering. That's the truth. And then, she plays a Romulan, not a Vulcan. Thank you for the clarification. No, this is important. This is important. She plays a Romulan. And yeah, there's a whole storyline about Picard and the Romulans and the planet and being saved and refugees and so on. And it all reflects. How do you pronounce that writer? Michael Chabon? Is it Chabon or Chabon? C-H-A-B-O-N. Those of you who've read his books will know I haven't, but I know that he's a very well-regarded writer. And there was a piece last week about him that I only read yesterday, saying that he is now writing the Star Trek Picard series. He's moved from literature and award-winning it to that, and he feels no compunction about doing it. He just felt a good story is a good story. And I talk about refugee Chabon. Thank you for that, Michael Chabon. And because he says that if Star Trek isn't reflecting the news, it's not Star Trek. And that's why you have refugees and immigration and crisis. We laugh about Romulans and Vulcans, but actually the whole thing's a bloody parable. And always was. Don't forget the first screen kiss, interracial screen kiss, was with Uhura and William Shatner, Captain Kirk. So they were well ahead of their time. All right. I'm Not Okay would be My Chemical Romance's most famous hit. Thank you. It's a angst-ridden power pop, says Joe. Thanks, Joe. Angst-ridden power pop. Brilliant. Ryan, you should listen to The Black Parade album by My Chemical Romance. It's superb. Do you know what I need to do is, I absolutely do need to listen to that, and I'm going to. That's why I told you, I learn from you guys. I go to stuff, I read stuff, I buy Toasted Maker stuff, I listen to you, I take notes here. This pen and paper isn't just for a show, you know. If you want your home to smell lovely, says Elaine, after the 1980s style toasted sandwich, you should treat yourself to a bottle of Shake and Vac to bring the freshness back. For the full 80s experience, it certainly puts the freshness back. Enjoy the Sam. Well, I probably would have a Proustian return to childhood, dining on that Madeleine, would I not? And the conflation of Shake and Vac and toasted ham and cheese makers. All I need now is my mother to come in with a Hoover to say, lift your legs. Lift your legs. I'm trying to watch Bagpuss. Lift your legs. I'm trying to watch Mr. Men. Lift your legs.
Don't go ahead with your Toasty Maker purchase. Get a little George Foreman. No, I'm not getting a George Foreman. I'm not even finishing your text, Mary. I'm not getting a George Foreman grill because it's too cumbersome. I want it cheap, nasty and small. Something just the size of two beer mats with a plug. But thank you for your suggestion, but I'm not doing it. For a time, finally, before we move on, for a time, it seemed nothing could divide the nation in Britain more than Brexit, as you can imagine. And then, of course, they've got this 50p piece that I was talking about, but even that's caused a problem. The new 50p coin commemorating Brexit caused a very British conundrum as fans and critics vied over the absence of the Oxford comma from the phrase peace, comma, prosperity, no comma, and friendship with all nations. And Sir Philip Pullman, the author yesterday, led the charge calling for all literate people to boycott the coins. Some said the omission of a second comma was killing them, while others declared Pullman plain wrong. I'm not going to get into it in any great sense other than the Oxford comma, if you care about it or if you know about it or if you have any thoughts about it, is an unwelcome addition to the planet. And it's fine where it is, which is to say, not there. So that's fine. I'll have this out with Philip Pullman someday. Never read his books. He's never heard me of me, so we come from an even playing pitch. But no, there's no need for it at all. Okay, it's 9:20. We're open for business. Oxford comment. Well done, Susie, who says, my three favourite things are eating my family and not using commas. I know what you're doing there, Susie, is you're having your eat shoots and leaves moment, and there's nothing wrong with that. Listen, listeners to this programme, thank you. I thought we could just by 10 o'clock get the figure for the Emmeline Fund over €500,000, but in the last 4 minutes, you've done that. And we are now at €501,004. We've got the €500,000, and that is, I am thank you, thank you. That makes all the difference. And you responded in, you can see it. It's all tenors and twenties. Just, do you know what? It just proves the point. There's no such thing as a small donation. It all adds up. This is good news. Thank you so much.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Just after Kelly, I see during my chat with Kelly, Billy Holland himself has come in to say, he's obviously Emmeline's dad, says, there are a few tears in the Holland household this morning. Our Emmeline has moved this nation into raising €500,000. Thank you all so much. And that's as plain and simple as you can get at gratitude. It's not just 501, it's €507,007 now. So it's just going up and up. We just wanted to cross that critical half a million mark from the loyalty and generosity and decency of Irish people. It's just a lovely story. So Billy, to you and the family, thanks for getting in touch this morning, and we couldn't be happier for you at all. At 9 minutes to ten, I have been talking completely in a completely bonkers way about the toasted cheese maker or whatever it's called. And cheese seems to be the order of the day. And with that in mind, I'm going to play Boys to Men. They featured regularly at the Grammys in the last couple of days, which seems to be shown on a loop on different channels. And with that in mind, I'm going to bring us all back. So enjoy Le Fromage. Yeah. You know what? How dare you ferment the sweet milk of my teen years into fromage? Boys to Men for life. You're welcome. You're welcome, Luke. Mary McCarthy, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
You are the director of the Crawford Art Gallery in Cork.
That's right.
And there we were talking about naked statues. I'd be calling it porn for the elite. Mary Beard, professor of classical studies and well-regarded lady, she was down with you not too long ago.
Yeah, it was delightful to hear you talking about the BBC show that's coming up, because indeed Crawford Art Gallery features on the 73rd
excellent.
One.
Great.
We were really lucky in 2018. You might remember we had a big exhibition called The Naked Truth.
Yep.
And Mary Beard came over to Cork to see that exhibition because of her interest in the subject matter. It was a huge hit for us in the summer.
Yep.
But while she was in Cork, she saw our Canova cast, the kind of classical sculptures with fig leaves and some of them without fig leaves. And indeed, she was quite fascinated by it because she didn't know that such a collection, I suppose, existed in Ireland. So we were really lucky. She then asked if she could film for this new TV show.
Great.
So we were delighted to facilitate that because it's great attention for the cast.
And we need to talk fig leaves.
We do.
Talk to me.
You might have heard during the summer, I suppose when we were doing a major reorganisation of that collection in Cork last February, and when we were doing some research funded by the Heritage Council, we discovered that some of the plaster was younger than the age of the cast. The material itself that was on some of the kind of genitalia of the sculptures, to say, was less than 200 years old. So we discovered that three of them had fig leaves put on them when they came to Cork in 1818. Mm. And as you know, Ryan, the people in Cork are fairly modest.
Absolutely.
So I think they were put on to protect the modesty. It would have been kind of a norm at the time, actually. Mm. So as part of the, I suppose, restoring the sculptures to their glory, we decided we'd embark on removing those fig leaves of five in total works, actually, as part of the collection. So we did that in public display, actually, last June, and Mary Beard indeed took part herself and indeed had literally a hand in the defigging.
That is, we'll be in Cork soon. I'm going to try and make the time to come and visit the gallery. So
please do. We'd love to see
it. I'd love that. Mary, thank you so much. I love that. The fig leaves are gone. Puritanism is on the march into the sunset, and that's where it belongs. That's Mary McCarthy, director of the Crawford Art Gallery in Cork.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Switching broadband needn't be a hassle with Sky's dedicated Switch Squad.
That's where we're going to leave it for today. And again, many, many thanks for the absolutely enormous sense of generosity for Billy and Lanley's fund for Emmeline. They wanted her to be remembered. And she will be remembered so beautifully with that lovely legacy of kindness from Irish people. That figure, which we came in starting at 493,000 this morning, and we leave you with a figure of 507,000, nearly 510,000 euro. It's just a wonderful result. So thanks again. Stay tuned for Sean O'Rourke. Have a lovely old day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.